Welcome to another installment of Instant Grace, a little show that we do as a supplement to Gracearchy with Jim Babka. I'm Jim Babka. Is Trump's non-speak, is that D.A. Bragg's wrong speak? We get the term newspeak from George Orwell, novel, 1984. And it basically means it's a corrupted language that where definitions are defined by the big brother or the political party or party system that is in place. Disagreement can be turned into a crime, quite literally thought crime. And we're familiar with the famous slogans that come out of newspeak. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. So in this trial that Donald Trump is experiencing in New York right now over hush money paid to Stormy Daniels, whether or not there is a felony, let alone 34 of them in this case, also has a similar newspeak Orwellian twist. I'm asking today whether non-advocacy, non-express advocacy can be a crime. In other words, if you don't say something, have you committed a crime? Does a candidate kind of have their own right to remain silent? So let me take just a moment and explain to you what express advocacy is. Express advocacy is the specific act of a political campaign. And what it says is vote for this candidate or vote against that candidate. And in order to know whether something is express advocacy, in order to make the rules clear, the courts have agreed that there are, and the bureaucracy, the FEC, has agreed that there are safe harbor terms. When you see these terms, it's express advocacy. If you don't see these terms, it's not. And the importance of this is that the whole campaign finance law violates the First Amendment on the theory of a compelling state interest. And when they do that, they have to narrowly tailor to just solve the immediate state interest problem while keeping the right generally intact. So all the other forms of advocacy in which you can engage in, my organization Downsize DC, Gun Owners of America, the ACLU, these other organizations that would engage in issue advocacy, as in call your congressman and tell him to vote this way or that way on a bill, those things all need to be protected outside of this narrow area of express advocacy that happens in campaigns where you're expressing either the vote or support of a electoral candidate or the vote against or opposition to someone standing for election in a federal campaign. That is the only thing governed by the campaign finance law. Once again, that is the only thing governed by the campaign finance law, and that is express advocacy. That's where the campaign contribution limits, for example, show up. There's only so much you can give to a candidate for federal office directly to their campaign. It's about $3,000 right now, just a bit more. That's all you can give per election to that candidate. And it's because that they're engaged in express advocacy. It's the only place that this applies is to their campaign. So Trump's being charged with 34 falsification of business records. And this is the importance of this, can only be treated as felonies if there was intent to defraud, including an intent to commit another crime or conceal the commission of a crime. And D.A. Bragg has mentioned a violation of the Federal Election Campaign Act as the trigger, as the other crime, potentially. This is the case that they're going to make. There's a whole bunch of problems with this. I know, let's just say this. Hush money sounds really bad, but all hush money is let's talk about what political campaigns really do. They have this whole department called opposition research, and that's where you basically dig up the dirt on your opponent and see what you can use to stick against them. And frequently, these things go into the realm of what would normally be considered libel. Normally, what would be considered, illegal smear tactics, and yet in a campaign setting, it's all fair game. So treating hush money like it's some bad thing, like if you're saying, I don't want certain opposition research to get out there that I'm aware of it, and I can make a contractual arrangement. I mean, morally, I'm not sure that that's as big a deal as everybody wants to pretend it is. But your mileage may vary. My point is that that is saying we're not going to express something. We literally are not going to say vote for or vote against. Neither of those things are going to be said. So there is no federal election component to this. There's no express advocacy. Now, most of the media is not going to talk about this. You're only hearing this here. And in another place I'm going to give you in just a moment. But it appears that the Trump spin machine, and there's always a spin machine, is basically going to make two arguments. And this is what the media is spending most of their time covering. First, they're focused on the timing of when these payments were made. And all 34 counts were done in 2017, which is after the election, after the inauguration. So they clearly are not 2016 transactions. The legality of these hush money payments may not even matter because they turn on whether or not Trump believed, and they have to go into his head and prove this, that he was trying to promote his election when what he might have been trying to do is avoid personal embarrassment and spare his wife's feelings. And that's the John Edwards defense. We call it that because John Edwards, running for president, did exactly the same thing. And he won his case, by the way. Now, I'm not pro-Trump. What is and what is not election interference, though, does matter for the future, for all of us. And willfully not reporting that you tried to keep something away from people strikes me as strange in terms of crime, but it definitely is not a violation of express advocacy. Now, I said you're only going to hear this here. Well, that's still hyper true. Episode 42 of this podcast, the reason I'm talking to you now is because I want people to go back and watch episode 42. Now, right up front, we had some severe technical problems that day, and you'll see them on the camera. But in the first 30 minutes, we explain how the campaign finance system works in ways you will never, ever hear the real facts of it, how it actually works if you're on the other side trying to run a campaign that's not covered by the media ever. Because, by the way, they don't like the competition of campaigns. They want to be the sole arbiter of what you know about those campaigns. We cover two rancid truths that underlie these campaign finance law, why these laws exist. We explain what their purposes are. The media never tells you the real truth about what it is that they're protecting. They'll say that they're trying to make sure that they're keeping corruption out of elections, and they're trying to reduce the pay for play. Well, they're doing nothing of the sort. What they are doing is going after two potential targets out there, and I'll give you a hint. They're both people who are not in the establishment. In both cases, they're anti-establishment. So if you don't like what the establishment's doing, then it's really you that they're kind of targeting. It's your candidates they're going after. And then in the second half hour of that show, we laid out all the defects in the Trump case, several of them, in more detail, including express advocacy. And then as a follow-up, we did another episode called The Establishment Strikes Back, The Steve Stockman Story. This was episode 43. So this is episode 42 and 43. If you want to get more information about this. Now, the guest I had was a former congressman who wasn't really cooperative with my interview. And he called after the show was over to apologize because he had never encountered somebody who was as prepared and understanding of where he was coming from. And so he was a bit on the defensive the entire time and rambled and went down various trails that were not very helpful, to be perfectly blunt. So you kind of have to struggle through that, but some interesting things emerged in his case. We were able to validate one of those two rancid things that happens in these laws. And we were able to go one step further because he introduced a shocking claim that even I hadn't heard before. And you can see as you're watching the video, you can see on my face and hear in my voice my suspicion that he's exaggerated something. But it turns out he hadn't. And we were able to provide the link to that in the show notes after, because we did the research after the show was over. So you'll be struck by how well-prepared I was trying to guide this interview, but even more so by the fact that this shocking claim emerges in it. So you do a show like this and you want more eyeballs on it. And I'm talking to you now in this instance, Grace, because I want to encourage you. I gave you the main thing you needed here at the beginning of the show that they're not covering, told you the thing that they're likely to cover instead. But I really would encourage you to go watch episodes 42 and 43 of Grace Archie with Jim Babka. And learn, because when you're done watching those shows, you will know more about campaign finance than the people reporting to you in the media and all of your friends.